You are surely blessed here with good music and also good singing. Thank you so much. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles again to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to pick up in verse 16 and read right through verse 33 as we continue in this great chapter. It's all about suffering now. So if you're in the wrong plane and you need to disembark, that's okay. No, everybody's going to stay, right? All right, so here we are. You know, sometimes we would hear some of our Bible school students over in Africa, they would get up before they spoke and they would say something like, I've been sick all night, I haven't been able to prepare, so you're going to have to suffer through the message. I said, don't tell them that, because then they're going to suffer through the message no matter if it's good or bad. But today our theme is suffering. You're going to have to suffer through this message. So here we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll begin reading in verse 16 using the New King James translation. Verse 16 says, I say again, let no one think me a fool if otherwise at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were, foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it, if it brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils of the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. Verse 27 goes on with this amazing list. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity or my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to apprehend me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Have you ever read such a thing as this? It could only be in God's wonderful word that tells us not just the truth, but the whole truth. And Paul, he opens up in a unique way. Now, we've been talking about 3 things concerning the credentials of the apostleship of the Apostle Paul, set apart by God, a chosen vessel that would suffer many things in order to bring the gospel before the kings and the rulers of this world. There's no easy path in order to get the gospel to the rulers of the world. And Paul did it through mentioning his worth as an apostle, his work, where we stopped partway through, and then we're going to look at his wounds. But let's pick up where we left off. The motives of the Apostle Paul were undeniably a high standard where he would offer the gospel without charge to the believers at Corinth so that they might not think he was in it for the money. And he took funds from other places in order to be able to stay and do so. But he was fighting against the methods of satanic influence. And you and I, we're right on the front line of that same thing. We're seeing this more now than ever in this part of the world. When we were in Africa, we saw it every day. But here, we never thought we would see the things that we're seeing now. And they are full steam ahead in order for Satan to win this part of the world by his power and his deception. Way back, J.N. Darby said, Satan is never so satanic or deceiving as when he carries a Bible. And we're seeing a lot of people use the Bible, not know the Word or know the Lord, but use the Bible for unprofitable purposes, but profiteering at the same time. Their appearance is deceiving, as they wear, just like the Pharisees, robes and make broad their phylacteries. Their words are convincing, their degrees are impressive, and their works are extensive, but do not be deceived. They are false apostles. They are false ministers of righteousness. They're not the real thing. They're not from the Lord. So Paul continues in this battle, and he says, listen, I'm going to continue on with the same means I've been using. Starting in verse 16, he says, you put up with fools? Consider me a fool. You want to hear some boasting? Let me do a little boasting. And Paul, in a unique way, he says, you're so happy when people put you into bondage. And that's exactly what they were. These false apostles would come and they would add the law to grace, which should be an impossibility. For if it's by grace, it's no longer by works. And if it's by works, it's no longer by grace. But they would have a mixture of grace and then add the law to it in order to bring into bondage the people of God. And the people liked it. You know, the people like it today, don't they? They like religious things to make them feel guilty and to make them feel like they're not measuring up and that they have to do more in order to be pleasing to God. I want to tell you, we can't be any more pleasing to God than what we are. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ pleased the Father. And we're in Christ. And when we're in Him, He's pleased with us because of what Christ has done. We love Him because He first loved us. The gospel sets us free from this bondage, not free to serve ourselves, but free to serve Him. And so Paul now goes into his long list of all the things that were real credentials of his apostleship. And he's not going to give us a list of successes. He's going to give us a list of suffering. Don't look for success. Look for scars if you want to find somebody that's true in their service to the Lord. This whole section begins in verse 22. When it comes to the wounds of the apostle, he starts by making a comparison. And his comparison has to do with these false apostles. And he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. And they were Judaizers. Are they Israelites? So am I. Again, are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. But here was the clincher. In verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? Now that's the answer that you and I must come up with. Because what they presented was not Christ, nor Christ-like. Paul says, I am more so. Even though it would sound like he was speaking as a fool, he goes on to say, let me tell you why I am more a servant of Christ than they are. And here's what he does. He says, when it comes to labor, more abundant. When it comes to stripes, above measure. When it comes to prisons, more frequently. And when it comes to dying, I died a lot of times. How can you do that? We have this little expression in Swahili. This is probably not going to make any sense to you. But in Swahili, when you really want to make a point, you just say it's an ongoing process, like it's happened again and again repetitively. And when somebody dies dramatically, they say, boy, he died a lot of times just then. Alikufaga is what they say. And you think, Alikufaga, how could he die more than once? And it's just the expression of making it dramatic. And so when Paul says, in deaths, often, what does he mean? Well, you could probably say he had so many close calls. He was as good as dead how many times? That's the idea. I died a lot of times or in deaths often. He starts into this list with those four things concerning labors, imprisonments, deaths, and also stripes that he received above measure. And this is just really the tip of the iceberg of all that the Apostle Paul suffered. And you think of his labors. When you're reading in the book of Acts, part 2, you know, it starts all about Peter and the team of the apostles. And then Saul comes on the scene. And from there on out, it's all about Paul and his team. Don't you like that? In fact, the way that Acts is written is so wonderful because in the first half, Luke is just writing down the narrative by saying, they went here, they did this, he said that, and he said this. But when Paul comes on the scene, Luke joins himself with them, and he's now using first person, we went there and we did that, instead of third person, he and they. There's a closeness with Luke. You know, by the end of Paul's life, do you remember what he wrote? Only Luke is with me. When you have bedside manner like that doctor Luke had, you really meant something to the Apostle Paul. And so when you read the second half of the book of Acts, you are reading the labors that are endless as Paul took the gospel to all the area around Macedonia, around the Mediterranean Sea, and as he made it all the way to Rome before Caesar and before the rulers of this world. He mentions stripes that he received. He said, 5 times I was beaten, or I received stripes. 40 minus 1, that's 39. You got your calculator out. All right, so you can add those up and say, well, that's a lot of stripes. I would like to see the back of the Apostle Paul to say, what kind of cost is there in your service? What are your credentials, Paul? And he could have just pulled his toga up and said, look at my back. There's my credentials. Not only that, but he was stoned and left for dead, 3 times beaten with rods. You remember in Philippi, Acts chapter 16. And by the way, most of this list is not recorded in the book of Acts, just some little glimpses of what he suffered in the book of Acts. But they were beaten with rods in the book of Acts. And then you remember, of course, it was all part of winning the opportunity to be heard for the gospel. Stoned and left for dead, that was one of his in deaths often. It might have been at that time that the Lord gave him a glimpse of heaven. Huh? He said, I know a man. I think that might be later. I better not get into it. I know a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. But he was caught up to the third heaven. Now, you can't get to the third heaven without going through some trials. And Paul, he suffered greatly. He says, 3 times shipwrecked. I only know of one in the book of Acts, but there must have been more that are not included. And not only that, he said, I was a night and day in the deep. That'd be like treading water. Can you imagine that? A whole night and a whole day wondering if anybody's going to know you're there. And then here's one of my favorite ones. Traveling often, or in travels oft. Now, I know there are some travelers here. And traveling, we got it made traveling, don't we? We get on an airplane. The Apostle Paul, he went over land, over sea, with all of the challenges, sometimes traveling 1,000 miles over land and sea in order to take the gospel to other places. You think you have a problem with jet lag? The Apostle Paul, wow, what did he endure for us? And then he has 8 things that he mentions, and they're all perils. And here's his perilous list. He was in the perils of waters. I believe that he's referring to times where you have rivers to cross and streams that were dangerous. You know, you have to be very careful in some of the travels that he did. We found that more in Africa than we do here. We don't even notice when we're crossing a stream or a river. Just make sure that the drawbridge is not out when you're going to it. But he went through some deep troubles, huh? Robbers. There are some areas that are dangerous in the Apostle Paul. It reminds me a lot of Ezra when he was going to help rebuild Jerusalem. Do you remember? And he had boasted how the Lord's protection would be upon them. And then the king said, "Would you like an escort?" And he said, "No. I was embarrassed to ask for an escort, but we prayed a lot that the Lord would keep us safe in our journey." Paul was praying the same thing, perils of robbers. And then he said, "Perils by my own countrymen." No doubt a reference to the Judaizers who had heard of Paul. He was public enemy number one to his own countrymen. And then perils by the heathen. Why? Because he preached that there was one God and one way of salvation to a world of pagans who thought that he deserved to die because of that. It's amazing how at one moment they want to worship Paul and Silas and his team, and then the very next moment they want to put him to death. And so he was in the perils of the heathen. He was in perils in the city. You remember Ephesus, he said, "We fought wild beasts at Ephesus and in other cities like Colossae and other places. We were in perils in the wilderness." No doubt just traveling in the wilderness, whether it's from people or animals, there are perils there. Perils in the sea, like the reefs and the shoals, as well as pirates. There were perils all around. So if you're going to travel and take the gospel, you got to know that you're going into troubled places, in troubled times, and in some very dangerous situations. They're on the front line. But probably the most dangerous was the last peril among false brethren who seemed to welcome you well just in order to spy out your liberty and then to try to do you in, just like they did to the Lord Jesus, also to the Apostle Paul. He mentions weariness and painfulness. You know, Paul, he never got a break, did he? He was working during the daytime in some places as a tent maker in order to be able to keep working with the gospel, offering it free of charge, meeting his own needs. He says he was in watching often, on the lookout, and sometimes he was in hunger and thirst. Now, I've been hungry before, but I haven't been in hunger. I've been thirsty before, but I've never been in thirst. There's a big difference, isn't there? And so Paul, he knew what it meant. He even mentions fastings often. And I don't believe it's like the fasting of the religious world where they say, "Oh yeah, for 30 days we're going to fast." And you say, "Well, what does that mean?" They said, "We only eat supper on those days." And you ought to see it. It's a smorgasbord, right? I buffet my body. I buffet my body, all right? So what a fasting it is. Yeah, we only eat suppers for 30 days, all right? That's a real fast. No, Paul, he wasn't like self-inflicted fasting. He just was going without food altogether. Cold and nakedness. He writes to Timothy, he says, "Bring the cloak when you come." He was cold in a damp, dark, dank prison cell. Cold and nakedness. And so we see his credentials. He makes this comparison. He said, "Are they Hebrews? I am. Are they Israelites? I am. Are they servants of Christ? I'm more." And so he gives us this list of over 20 things that he had suffered. We count successes. Paul counted up his sufferings. It's no wonder that he wrote to Timothy saying, "Yea, all that will live godly or desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." And we look at our lives and in this part of the world, the church, who could claim that we've suffered anything compared to him? You know, maybe we have a few things that we've gone through, but not like him. And you take all of these sufferings that he's listed for us and you come to this next part. He describes his care, verses 28 and 29. I believe that this was the heaviest burden on the Apostle Paul compared to all those physical things that he experienced. Besides the other things, those things he's just mentioned, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Now that's one place we can relate, can't we? When we see what the Lord's people are going through, not just here, but especially in other parts of the world. We keep in touch with the saints over in the Congo. It used to be Zaire when we were there. And the things that they're suffering. I mean, It's been 30 years since we were there. We left in 93. I don't want to start counting up all these things, but they're still being run out of their villages, leaving everything behind, coming back to a burnout village. Has been going on for all these years since the war started. And there's no sight of it getting better. And that's just one place in the world. The church is suffering greatly. Our brotherhood, that's your brothers and mine in Christ, and sisters, are suffering greatly in all parts of the world. I believe it's right around the corner for us here in this part of the world. And so when it comes to the care of the churches, the Apostle Paul, like he said, I've been a father to you. He bore it on his heart. And that was worse than all the things on his shoulders. His heaviest burden of all is what came upon him daily, his deep concern for the church. He describes it in verse 29. He says, who's weak and I'm not weak? Who's made to stumble and I don't burn with indignation? In other words, whatever you feel, I feel. How could he get this picture? I'll tell you how. When the Lord Jesus met him on Damascus, do you remember what he said? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, Saul was persecuting the church. Christ was already in heaven. He saw the heavenly man who interrupted his mad career, knocked him off his high horse and struck him with blindness just to ask the question, why are you persecuting me? You know what the Lord is telling him? Everything you do to the church, you do to me. Whatever touches your life touches him. The man of sorrows bears a part of it. And Paul says, I want to be like him. And when one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. And we'd like to rejoice more. But the suffering, Paul took it to heart, and we should too. And then he comes in verses 30 through 33. And this is what he says in conclusion. So we've talked about a comparison. We've seen some of his credentials. We see the true care that was a burden on his heart as well as upon his shoulders. And this concluding portion of Scripture, these last four verses, the first one, he finishes up this matter of boasting. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern, are you ready for this? My weakness. That's opposite of what we would say, right? Let me tell you how strong I am. I tell people I'm getting older, but I'm getting bolder. And so Paul says, I'm bold in telling you how weak I am. And when you get over to chapter 12, or when Alan gets to chapter 12, boy, he gets the best of all, huh? All about grace. And Paul tells how God's grace is sufficient for all the things he had suffered. But here, when he's talking about boasting, the conclusion is really going to be in the next chapter. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. So Paul says, I'm going to boast about my weakness. Let me tell you how weak I am. And he goes from boasting to blessing in verse 31. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. And here we go. Of his most humbling experience. Huh? Have you ever been with a group of people and they say, what was the most embarrassing experience you ever had? I hate those things, don't you? Huh? Probably right now is my most embarrassing time to think of something embarrassing. Huh? We got a list of them. Here's Paul's most embarrassing moment, or his greatest moment of weakness. Now, you got to remember, Paul was a lion. When God told Ananias, go put your hand on him, he says, I've heard many things about this one, Saul of Tarsus. It's like putting your hand on the head of a lion. So here's Paul, this great persecutor of the church. Just come to Christ. And in verse 32 it says, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desiring to apprehend me. The word was out. Paul had come to Christ. They were going to try to apprehend him. And what did he do? I mean, if he's telling it, he's laughing, what we would call down south, a real kafah. Huh? And here's what he says. I was let down in a basket. There's this bold persecutor all balled up in a little basket, huh? That's how belittling it was. In a basket through a window in the wall. He didn't walk right through the front doors. No, he's skipping out and slipping out, and I escape from his hands. And it's almost like he says, try to beat that one. How low can you go? And Paul says, that's how low I went. And that's how much I experienced in my weakness. And that's what I'm boasting of. I look at this list of suffering and I read books like Fox's Book of Martyrs. Have you read it lately? You need to read it more than once. Whenever you think we're doing all right, go back and read it and read it again. Because you'll see what the norm is for the Christian experience. We don't know the norm, do we? We get upset if there's a gas shortage. Or if there's not enough paper towels of the brand we really like. It's easy, isn't it, to be so comfortable in our world. But we know a God who not only believes in comforting the saints, because he believes in comforting the afflicted, but he also believes in afflicting the comfortable. And he knows how to get our attention. And when we go through some of the trials we've been through in this last year, it's been an eye-opener, hasn't it? I mean, it's a pandemic, but it comes right down to your home and mine. Many have suffered greatly through this. I'm going to tell you, I believe it's just the beginning. And Mr. Bramhall was, you know, I was his boy chauffeur for a few years. When he was 83, I was driving him around. And I got to ask him all the hard questions. And I remember asking him about the tribulation time coming. And what would the church experience? And he said, when I was young, I asked A.C. Gabelline the same question. Would the church go through the tribulation? And he said, he told me, no, by what the scriptures teach, we don't believe the church will go through the tribulation. But he said, before the tribulation and before the rapture, the church may think that she's going through the tribulation. There may be some very difficult times ahead. I want to tell you, we got a book on how to what to expect and what to do when that happens. Let me just give you a very brief closing review about suffering as the norm for the Christian life. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let patience have its perfect result or work. Not only that, but the Lord Jesus spoke, saying, in this world, now if you want to sell a book, you have to say, you can have victory, or you can overcome. But here's what the Bible says. In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Our overcoming and victory is all in Christ. Suffering was a strengthening for the church. When the church was first persecuted, they prayed and they asked the Lord to take heed or take note of their threats. And the Lord answered, and he shook the place where they were, and they went out preaching Christ with a holy boldness, strengthened because of the suffering that they were experiencing. They even, according to 2 Timothy 2, they even sang about suffering. If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. How do you like to finish on a note like that in your hymn time, huh? Not only that, but Peter, he said, don't think it's strange when you encounter various trials, as if some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice. And that's the way the apostles did. They went on their way rejoicing because they were counted as worthy to suffer these things. But we've been looking a lot, not only at the suffering in our life, the things spoken by the Lord, the strengthening it gave to the church, the singing about suffering, and how the early saints sought it as a happy reproach to bear for him. But some of these signs we saw in the life of the Apostle Paul today in chapter 11. And it was a fulfillment of what God had spoken about him He's a chosen vessel of mine, and I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And he's going to make the gospel known. He's going to present Christ even to the rulers of this world. There's no shortcut to this. Amy Carmichael, if you know her writings and her service on the mission field, she wrote a poem, and I'd like to share it with you. It's called, Hast Thou No Scar? Because if you want to look for somebody's credentials, look for the scars. You've got some scars, don't you? Physically, we're talking about. You don't have to show them to anybody. We all got some scars, don't we? How about scars on our life? Yeah, we bear scars emotionally. We bear scars spiritually. Well, scars come in different forms. And here's what Amy Carmichael wrote. Hast thou no scar? No hidden scar on foot or side or hand? I hear thee sung as mighty in the land. I hear them hail thy bright ascendant star. Hast thou no scar? Hast thou no wound? Yet I was wounded by the archers, spent. Lean me against a tree to die and rent. By ravening beasts that compassed me, I swooned. Hast thou no wound? No wound, no scar. Yet as the master shall the servant be. And pierced are the feet that follow me. But thine are whole. Can he have followed very far who has no wound, no scar? I look at my feet. Not many scars there, if any. I look at my side. Not many wounds there, if any. I look at my hands. Not many marks there, if any. But I look at his feet, his side, his hands. The way our master went, that's the way we should go. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Can't we follow him today? And if he leads us through some trials, just go through them with his strength and know he'll never leave us nor forsake us, so that we can boldly, boastfully say, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? May the Lord bless these solemn words to our hearts today and prepare us for the things to come. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Our blessed Father, once again, we bow our hearts in your presence. We thank you for the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and has called us to follow his steps. We thank you, Father, for the examples of the Apostle Paul and others like Silas and Timothy and many who suffered greatly. In fact, we think of all the apostles who suffered martyrdom, save John, and he suffered greatly in the remainder of his life. And yet, you have shown yourself strong on behalf of those who know you by taking the weaknesses that we experience and being strong in the midst of it. Father, it's our desire, we pledge to you now, that no matter what lies ahead for each one of us, we're going to count on your strength made perfect in our weakness, and we're confident that you'll bring us through, all for your own glory and honor and for our good. We give you our thanks for this assembly and for the bright testimony it is. Help us all to shine brightly till the Lord Jesus comes, we pray, in the name that is above every name, your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.